Now, it says that this promise, it says he will not relent, he will not repent. We have one verse in the scriptures that says God is not a man that he should repent, that he should change. But we do have examples in the scriptures where it says that God relented or God repented. In the days of Noah, God says, it repents me that I've made man. In the days of Jonah, he relented. He repented of the evil that he was going to do, the wickedness. This doesn't mean that God is whimsical or that he's not trustworthy. It shows one of the glories of God, actually, that he is able to declare something, and then he's able to, could we say, make an adjustment or make a change based on the responses of those whom he's looking at. When the people of Nineveh heard the message of judgment, there was not even any mercy offered, but they said, well, a God who could bring such judgment, maybe he's great enough to show mercy. And they repented, and God showed mercy. And so he changed what he was going to do. But when it comes to this statement here, it is certain because it has to do with the Lord Jesus. There is never going to be a change in the character of the Lord Jesus that is going to cause God to say, I wish I didn't make that promise. Mm-hmm. He says it about the people in the days of Noah. I wish that the people had a different heart. I wish it hadn't gone this way, if we could use such terms. The scriptures do. But when it comes to the Lord Jesus, there is never going to be a stain on his character. There's never going to be a failing that is going to cause God to repent of such a promise. The Lord Jesus is the one who will always carry to fullness the expectation, if we could say such a word, of what God intended to set him up for, to make him a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, and there will never be a disappointment that the Lord Jesus has such a position. And just as a way to refer briefly to some of the other verses that end this psalm, there's more to say probably, but just to see that this is exactly what happens. The first four verses are, in general, they are words to the Lord Jesus about Jehovah. Jehovah said to Adonai. So he's talking to Adonai. He's talking to the Lord Jesus about what Jehovah is going to do for him and with him. Then in verse 5 and 6 and 7, I think we would say that now it's words to Jehovah about Adonai, about the one who is at his right hand. The promise was, sit at my right hand. Verse 5, he's at your right hand. And he is going to accomplish all that you have given him to do. He's going to do it with righteousness. He's going to do it with God's righteous wrath. He's going to establish God's righteousness by removing all the pretenders to God's, or the ones who would like to usurp God's place. And even he does it with restfulness in verse 7. The impression is one he's not hastening. He's not in a struggle to accomplish God's work. He's restful, even though he's overthrowing kingdoms, and yet he's calm about establishing God's righteousness in the earth. He drinks of a brook. He lifts up his head in dignity. He is not troubled by the opposition to God. He is going to establish everything that God has intended him to do. And God will never be dissatisfied with who this great one is.
I wonder if we could understand what both of you brethren are saying, that morally this is to take place in the lives of believers today, but also to show the character of the psalm that we're in, to recognize as we head this morning that he was the possessor of heaven and earth, and that I recognize today, we've talked a lot about men, but there's a usurper, Satan. Mm-hmm. I look and I see him in the place in the heavens that he's in today. This verse is looking tomorrow to the time when Satan will have been cast out, when Satan will no longer have the place in heaven or on the earth, and our Lord Jesus will rule and reign here for the glory of God. So We understand the moral side of it, that it should be seen in the life of the believer today. But if I want to understand the interpretation of the psalm, I have to see, as we've said over and over, that it is looking forward to a future day upon this earth. Would you accept that?
Yes, and it is. It's the right interpretation. It's a millennial psalm. Mm-hmm. But you and I have Christ as Lord in our heart today, and these features that will take place universal at that time should be displayed today. Yeah. But time is gone, and just the thought about his priesthood there. It is by an oath. It is by an oath. For David could speak about him as king because he's coming from David's line. He is from the tribe of Judah. Now, that's a Hebrews line. But the oath of God concerning Christ, the dignity that God put upon him, because it is impossible, according to the dispensation of Israel, to have a king priest. The whole idea of the Holy Roman Empire, they tried to do that. The whole idea of having an Islamic state where a clerk is the head of the government, the head of the state. It just never works anywhere. This is really what Satan is trying to steal, the idea of the millennial. Having a religious person who is the head of the state. God's thoughts is that the only one who has that right. When Uzzah tried to go into the temple and to act as a priest, leprosy came in his forehead. And what we have before us here is what God's purpose is by an oath. Nobody else should occupy that position as the head of the empire of this world. As a king and priest, I think the verse was referred to in Zechariah chapter 6. He will sit on his throne and he will be a priest on his throne. That is really God. Concept and thoughts concerning his well-beloved son, our Adonai, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is my oath for no other man to take it or to accomplish that. And every man tried to do it, ruin it for himself and for everybody around him.
And I think in one sense where every man has tried to do that, today what has happened is that we separate church from state.
Which is good because we don't have him to
avoid
put them together.
But there is the only the one who has been placed there by the oath. Yep. Is the one who can link priest and kingdom together.
But this is why is all the Christians trying to bring them back together here?
That's right.
Because they don't properly understand the dispensational distinction. It's so important.
But let's close the study with the lift up of his head. On the cross he bowed his head. In a coming day, he lifted up his head.